Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Grain has been a staple of the human diet more or less since the dawn of time, and the ways we incorporate it today into our meals is vast and diverse. We have a guest in the studio today who not only is an expert on grain, but also who reportedly makes the best pancakes in six counties. This excites me. Amy Halloran is here, and she's something of an ambassador of flour. Amy's a Troy native and author of the newly released book, The New Bread Basket, how the new crop of grain growers, plant breeders, millers, maltsters, bakers, brewers, and local food activists are redefining our daily loaf. She helped start the popular Troy Farmers Market, which we talk about a lot on this program, currently runs the Community Meals Program at Unity House, and teaches food justice at Russell Sage College. So if you have a question about grain, anything at all, Amy's the one to talk to. Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can post your comments on today's Vox Pop wall post on Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You will see a Vox Pop post there, or you can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop or email at voxpop@wamc.org. Now, in full disclosure, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, our producer, usually fields all the electronic, internet communications for the program. I'm going to try to do it myself, which can only end in disaster. But if you want to send an email, I will give it a shot. And likewise, the tweets. So the number to call to be safe is 1-800-348-2551. Amy Halloran, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ray.
You're pretty jazzed about this, aren't you?
I love to talk about flour.
All right. So obviously, you are just crazed about grain. How did that start?
Well, maybe it began a lot of places. First thing was probably when I was a little kid and my father surrendered the spatula at the griddle.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a very brave thing. How young were you?
Very young.
Really?
Too young for historical record.
Okay.
And my mother taught me math on measuring cups. So the two of them built me into a baker. That's what I like to do. I always like to bake. And then...
Can I just say that you're fairly slim for most bakers I know have a couple extra pounds.
I think I like to cook more than eat.
Ah.
And I really burn a little higher.
Well, so. You know, it's apparent that you do. And thankfully, I'll do the eating if necessary, because what you brought looks pretty great. What did you bring today?
Today we're having rye crepes. Mm. They are made with 100% rye flour. It's a whole grain flour grown and ground in Ithaca, New York. It's farmer ground flour. I like a whole grain because it has the bran, the germ, and the endosperm. Most of the flour we eat does not have the germ, and it has a bit of the bran if you're going for a whole grain, but I think that having all three parts of a kernel is really essential.
I mean, why is it essential?
Okay, so if you think about a plant, we are hijacking plants to feed us. Their job in the universe is not to make us happy and strong. Their job in the universe is to reproduce.
Right.
So all three parts of a kernel are necessary for that. The bran is the protective layer. The endosperm is the stored energy.
Yeah.
And that germ is, some bakers call it the brain or intelligence of the kernel.
Okay.
Starting from the late 1800s, milling stripped away, roller milling came in, and we were able to strip away the bran and the germ entirely.
Okay, stop there. Why did that start? What was the advantage of doing that?
Bakers love flour that rises. We've always had a fascination with white flour because bran interrupts that beautiful construction of leavened bread. So there's also probably some odd cultural preferences for whiteness.
Yeah, oh, okay.
You know, because
yeah, I get it.
It's less of the whole grain, so only the richer people could get it. It was always a social aspirational thing. Go
I
for
gotcha.
The white flour.
Okay.
Yeah. But stone milling was what we had for most of time.
Yeah.
And stone milling squishes all those three parts of a kernel together. You can sift off some of it, but you can never remove it entirely. So I think that whole grains on a stone mill are really important because of that integration. And you have all parts of the plant, not just the endosperm, which is white flour.
Right.
Which can really jack you up and act just like sugar.
Right, which is great.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not a controlled substance, but it should be.
The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Amy Halloran is our guest. Her book is The New Bread Basket, and she brought pancakes and crepes and looks like maple syrup over there.
There's some maple syrup. My my children are very into growing things and making things. So my older son started an experiment a number of years ago, tapping the trees in our yard.
Amazing.
So this is not maple syrup, actually. It's Norway maple and silver maple syrup, because in our neighborhood in Troy, there's not a ton of sugar maples. We have one sugar maple, but the boys figured out, really the older son, Francis, I have to give him the lion's share of the credit for wanting to do this and making it happen.
Well, how did he learn? Did you teach him, or did he look at a Google it, or what did he do?
Okay, so my navigational choice was the griddle and baking.
Right.
This kid, his navigational choice is plants. He has always been, when I ran the farmer's market, he would run around doing laps on the outside of the vendors and say, Francis Eddie McGuy, farmer. Francis Eddie McGuy, farmer. He was 3 years old, totally plant identified, hated us for buying a house in Troy because he couldn't be a real farmer on just a few city lots.
Well, so in other words, the kid's pretty jacked up on white flour. No?
No.
All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. Amy Halloran is our guest. We'll eat soon, all right?
You better.
And are you going to have some?
Pancakes have no shelf life, Ray. We are watching the original fast food deteriorate in quality before our very eyes.
I'll tell you what. When we get to Steve in North Adams, he'll talk and I'll try.
Yes.
Okay, what should I try first?
I think you should go for the plain pancake first. Okay. I ask that you try it without anything on it so you can taste the whole grain.
All right, let's go to the phones. Steve in North Adams. Steve, I'm going to have a pancake here. You talk to Amy Halloran.
I want a pancake, too.
All right, man. Come on over.
Well, listen, I have two questions. The first one is about making a pie crust with not white flour. So I want to have to make a pie this week coming up here. And I'm not sure about how to get a pie crust out of, like, whole grain. Is it easy, or?
I think it is. I really like whole grain flours, so I make them work in anything. You'll want to use a pastry flour because pastry is for pastry.
Absolutely.
It's a soft grain, you know, so that will give you a better texture for your crust. But you can go lots of places with whole grains. What kind of a pie are you making?
Pumpkin.
Okay, so my favorite grain theme for fall is cornmeal and rye. So a pumpkin pie can really take many flavors from the grains. So you could do cornmeal, rye, half and half. You could do some pastry flour, whole grain pastry flour, plus oats, and have the nice texture on it too. There, you know, some people, if you're going for a crowd that's not totally hip to whole grains, you can do half white flour. It also might make it slightly more manageable for you to handle. But if you are, like me, gung-ho for whole grains, you can put up with a little bit of difficulty handling the pastry itself. Say, okay, maybe it's going to break a little bit more. The important thing about using any grain with bran on it is to give it a good rest once you assemble the pastry.
Now, what do you mean?
So, well, with any pastry, you're supposed to put the dough in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
But it's especially important when you've got the bran in it, because the bran needs to absorb more of the liquids, or in the case of pie crust, the fat.
Yeah. All right. Well, what do you think, Steve?
Well, I'm wondering, so now, I mean, no problem. I can certainly get my hands on whole grain and organic at that, too. But I'm still wondering, like, you know, so I got to mix it with something. I got to use butter. I mean, I'm familiar with using butter, and we used to use ice water, take cold water. But I don't know how much water to use or butter to use with a whole grain as compared to white flour.
Okay, you can swap it out pretty much one for one. The only thing to look out for is maybe a little bit more water, because that's where you get a lot of variability.
To the whole grain.
Yep, it might need a touch more liquid.
Okay, my second item is about pancakes.
All right.
Now, at least where I live out here in the Berkshires, I'm known as the best pancake maker in town.
Oh, sorry, yeah. You just lost.
I'm going to tell you what my secret was. And many, many years ago, I had a cookbook, Beatrice Trumhunter. I was living out in the woods, and I wanted to make 100% soy flour pancakes, and I guess they're very difficult to get them anything but flatter than flat pancakes. So her recipe recommended beating the egg whites till they were, you know, almost stiff, not quite stiff, but they had to peak. You beat the egg whites stiff, and then you fold in the flour mix that's already together with the liquid, and you fold that in, and that makes a nice fluffy pancake. Now, I don't care what kind of pancake I make, blueberry, strawberry, yeah, I don't care, pick anything. You put that in the pancake, and then, first you make your liquid mix, beat your egg whites stiff, then you fold in your egg whites about a third to a half of the way, and then you start sprinkling in your fruit, fold a little bit. That makes a nice, like, fluffy pancake. You do anything like that, Amy?
I eat pancakes 1 to 3 times a day, so I'm not...
Good for you.
I am not whipping any egg white ever. I rely on a little bit of yogurt and a little bit of baking soda, along with Rumford baking powder. I don't get any money from them, but I should, because I adore their baking powder, and I think no one should use anything. But so I get a lot of lightness from those, and again, I let things sit.
Hey, Steve, we're going to take
like
a break.
I don't like baking powder, though, so why I beat my egg white stiff. I don't care for the baking powder stuff.
Hey, Steve, I got to take a break here, but thank you.
Yeah, go ahead. Bye.
A beautiful call, because I got to eat a whole pancake. All right, let's take a break, Zach, and I'll have another one. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Amy Halloran is our guest. A genius with a pancake, boys and girls.
Support for WAMC comes from Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts. Planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings, indoors or out. At the Curtis House, with 3 rooms available, or at a variety of venues around the area. GloriosaCO.com. Ninepin Cider Works, serving a variety of New York hard cider. Cider styles available for tasting and to bring home from the tasting room. 929 Broadway, downtown Albany. Be revolutionary, consider the apple. NinePinCider.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans, so our past has a future, preservenys.org. And Empire State Youth Orchestra, annual concert for senior citizens led by Helen Chapayo, with selections from The Planets by Holst, Tuesday, October 27th, 1 p.m. at Proctor's, esyo.org.
It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday on a beautiful, brisk Friday afternoon here in October. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We're joined today by Amy Halloran, who is pretty darn good with a pancake. So I had while Steve was on the line, and thankfully he went, he had a good long question, because I got to have a whole pancake. And I got to say, with nothing on it, no butter, no syrup, nothing, it was really good.
I got more than 4 decades in at the griddle. So it
really
shows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously it's not the same as Mrs. Butterworth mix. There was some love in that.
It's the flour.
Okay.
I mean, that's the thing about anything white, about any kind of flour. It really can have flavor. Most of the flavor in a flour comes from the bran and the germ. And the pancakes that you have in front of you are made with a white whole wheat pastry flour.
Yeah.
Now, the white refers to the bran. A lot of wheat has a red bran on it. And now the tannins in the bran can be a little bit bitter. White wheats are super sweet.
They are. That was sweet. And there was no sugar in that?
No sugar.
Very sweet. Very delicious.
Yeah.
And so fluffy.
My favorite. It's my favorite. Well, I love spelt too, but I thought I'd just bring you the king of the pancakes.
So your kids are spoiled, right? And they're like, I've had enough of the pancakes, Mom, no more?
Well, I started to feel guilty, and I started asking them, do you want pancakes? Now, the older boy, he's into protein. So
right.
He'll have some eggs with his pancakes.
Yeah.
But the younger one, Felix, he just has one pancake at a time.
Right.
One pancake at a time. No butter on it, just a little bit of maple syrup.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong. Well, it's almost time to eat again. So let's go back to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. Carden in West Stockbridge. Is it Carden or Karen?
It's Carden.
You're on, man. Go.
Awesome. So I got two questions here. I recently fell in love with making bread a couple of months ago. A friend of mine gave me a book called Bread in Five, and it blew my world apart, and I went from like being paleo to being a crazy bacon.
Congratulations.
And, my wife is not exactly thrilled because she's eating a lot of bread now. All that being said, I've been, when I try to make things with more holy flowers, I end up making something that I call battle bread, which, is kind of like just, it's denser. And mm-hmm. So there's two parts of the question. The first question is, are there techniques for getting more rise and like a really nice crumb out of a bread that has a lot more whole wheat in it?
Yep.
Or two, do I have to, basically readjust my preferences or both?
You can make things go more the way you want. One of the things that bakers do is pre-fermenting part of the grains or part of the flour. So you would take a portion of the flour, and there are a few books that are really great, and Peter Reinhardt's Baking with Whole Grains or Bread Revolution, both of them are great. The King Arthur whole grain baking book is also really good. And I think there's even one of those 5-minute whole grain books too. And so you can check out your library and go, get a lot of advice. But the general neighborhood of what you want to do is be taking some of that whole grain flour and giving it more time to absorb liquids so that it doesn't go really dense on you. And also, you might want to, if you're going to be using half and half white flour, let that do the leavening without the whole grains in it, so that it has a chance to really grow first.
Oh, okay. And then I'd combine them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of very precise recipes that do that. I really, really like, Peter Reinhardt's book. I love Richard Miskovich has a book out called From the Wood-Fired Oven, and I probably will never have a wood-fired oven in my yard, but I love all of his recommendations on baking.
Awesome. And now the second quick question is that I read Dan Barber's The Third Plate.
Yep.
And so then I got obsessed with this idea of finding, heirloom or new types of, mm-hmm. Grains in their whole form. And I just want to know what your position is on, basically buying wheat berries and grinding them yourself versus buying flours.
Right, right. Okay, so I have mixed feelings on that. I have a little mill that I can attach to my KitchenAid mixer so I can play with stuff at home. I also have a neighbor who has a bicycle-powered mill.
No way.
Yes.
In Troy?
In Troy. We planted some grains in his yard, too. We've planted grains in our yard, kind of recreationally, kind of just trying to see what it would do. But anyway, I tend to prefer, since I'm a heavy user, 200 pounds at a time in the house, I get it from a mill for a few reasons. One, the mills will have bigger stone surface, keeps the grains cooler while they're milling. And two, I really want to support the return of mills to communities so that we can have more regional grain growing.
And the mills that you would suggest are?
So you're in Stockbridge.
West Stockbridge, yeah.
So Massachusetts doesn't have a ton of activity, so you are our local. And I would say Wild Hive, Farmer Ground Flour, Maine Grains also serves the Northeast. That's the state of Maine,
yeah.
And the word grains. And I feel horrible if I'm missing. I know okay. I'm missing people, but those are three great places to start.
Carden, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Amy Halloran, who is a whiz with a pancake and a crepe and the author of The New Bread Basket. This one came in via email from our friend Bonnie. And the subject heading is pumpernickel. Where are there good recipes for big and dark and unspongy pumpernickel worthy of the old country? Too many produce a pale, unhearty, flattish loaf. That's from Bonnie.
Ooh, I wish I could have a conversation with that voice, because I don't know if you're looking for a sort of square Pullman loaf. There are some really great recipes in a book called Home Baked, and it's by a mill in Denmark that I adore, and I dream about going to at night. I have literal dreams of going to this mill in Denmark.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got to say, you're pretty riled up about grain.
I like flour.
You dream about mills.
I do.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Anne in Kingston. Anne, you're on.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I don't bake, and yet I'd like to start. And I get very intimidated by the fact that people say it's a science and you have to be absolutely exact with everything that you put into it. And I'd really like to hear what you have to say about a simple way of baking for beginners that isn't quite as intimidating as I've heard.
Before you answer, Amy, I got to tell you, Anne in Kingston, that when you said you've heard that it's a science, I saw a lot of head shaking.
I am far more enthusiastic than precise. And people really like what I bake. So I am sure that you can have fun in the kitchen without being exact. There are a lot of really mathematical bakers. I have a math background, but I don't bring it into the bowl. I go to neighborhoods, general proportions. You know, I'm not saying you should put a teaspoon of salt where you need a half teaspoon. That's, you know, certain things like leavening, you need to get things in the ballpark. But there's really nothing to be afraid of. It's so fun to make stuff. I think that's why, you know, baking has always been so gratifying to me. You start from nothing and you get to do this alchemy. And all of a sudden, you have something in front of you. And other people want it.
Yes.
It's not like making sculpture.
Well, some people want that. And I think this is a good philosophical Zen-like way to look at it. And remember, failures are okay.
Well, failures are, I expect some failures. But, you know, it is intimidating. My niece gave me some stone ground corn flour,
uh-huh.
From a little New England mill, and it's very nice. And I put it in my freezer, and I keep looking at it, and it keeps looking at me.
Oh.
And I should do something with it.
Well, okay. So think backwards to say an English person coming to the New England coast and finding corn. They were not troubled by precision. They wanted to eat.
Yeah.
They wanted to eat, and you can eat too. And you can cornmeal makes some really beautiful cornbreads and corn muffins. I have recipes online at my name. And if you look up me and cornmeal, you'll find some things to play with.
Do you have a website?
I have a website. It's amyhalloran.net.
Okay. All right. That's a good place
great.
To start.
Well, I'll start there then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks a lot, Anne.
Good luck. And
thank
don't
you.
Be afraid. I love to bake, and you should too.
Okay, so you said, you know, you go into the neighborhood, and you sort of eye it, and you go by your intuition and whatnot. But for a great recipe, now everything I've tried, and by the way, just had some of the crepes, yeah, you win. Okay, but to make it replicatable, don't you have to sort of follow a recipe?
Okay, yeah, this is why this book is narrative nonfiction and a recipe. And not a recipe book, you
okay.
know? It's a recipe. I'm good at telling stories, but I'm not great at getting recipes narrowed down.
Well, you got to get a secretary just to jot down notes when you work, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Our guest today, Amy Halloran. It's Food Friday, 1-800-348-2551. Tony in Athol, Mass. You're on, Tony.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Amy. Listen, I'm maybe getting off topic because you're talking mostly scratch baking, but is there a property in rye flour that is something of a mold inhibitor because, though I do occasionally bake, generally speaking, I just go to the store and buy a loaf of bread. If I buy rye or pumpernickel, stays mold-free longer because I generally don't eat a whole lot of bread, than white, which sometimes can go moldy in less than a week.
Okay, so I bet it's not so much the flour itself as the baking habit. And I bet your rye might be made with sourdough.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see. And so sourdough would be a natural mold inhibitor.
Or I wouldn't want to call it that, but it would last longer.
I see.
Rye breads tend to last longer.
Yeah, they do. I did notice. And I thought maybe it was just a property in rye flour that was not present in white or wheat.
See, now that's a science question. I know you don't think of it as science, Amy, but that's a science. You should have called yesterday when we did the science forum, Tony.
I listened, but you were talking too much about Rudy.
Don't bring it up. Yeah, you're right. Thanks a lot for the call.
All right.
We'll see you. 1-800-348-2551. Much rather talk about crepes and pancakes than rabies. I got to be honest with you. Lucas in Stanfordville. Lucas, you're on with Amy Halloran.
Hi there. I have that same KitchenAid grain mill that you were just talking about, and I tend to grow buckwheat, and I wanted to know how to mill that buckwheat. I think you have to, like, separate the hulls or something. That's what I've heard.
Okay. I'm walking into guessing here because I have seen buckwheat in the field, and I'm familiar with what it looks like, and I've seen buckwheat as it goes to mill, but I can't put them together in my head about how much processing you need to do. What do your hulls look like? They're sort of oddly shaped.
They're like little sharp brown.
Okay.
Look like little hearts, kind of.
They're ready to go.
Triangles.
They're ready to go.
You can just put them right in the mill?
Yep. I don't like it sifted. I like my buckwheat to have all that in it. And some people will want to sift some off, but I say go for the whole thing.
Okay.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. You having fun so far?
I love to talk about flour.
Hey, the crepe's really good.
Yeah.
Explain.
Okay, so I have sort of an anti-Francophile food bend, but...
Oh, really? And why?
Yes.
Why is that? Explain.
I was just... I don't know. But anyway, I never liked crepes.
Okay.
Until I was at a friend's house and they said, I bought this flour at the farmer's market, so I knew what flour it was, and I knew I had to defend it. She was saying that she wasn't having luck with using the flour. And so... You know, like the flower defender I am, I decided to try to, so on the spot, I worked with it and I thought, okay, I think we just need to let it sit longer and then it will behave in the way she wanted. And she was using my favorite flour, farmer ground flour, white pastry flour.
Okay.
And
which is what you have here in the jar.
Yep. And we made a 3-2-1 ratio. So 3 eggs, 2 cups of milk, 1 cup of that beautiful flour, and we let it sit for about 5 to 10 minutes. These crepes, I made the batter this morning and let it sit refrigerated. Blending it is very nice. Blending it really helps. You can use a whisk if you don't have a blender.
So you put it right in an electric blender.
Yep, and then I put it in a quart jar, put it in the fridge. You can let it sit overnight, and then I pour it on the griddle. Use a lot of butter. Don't be shy
of
butter. Butter is flour's best friend.
That's one of my main tenets of life is use a lot of butter.
Stick of butter a day.
Right. It's good for you.
Keeps the doctor away.
That's right.
And that's why those are really good.
Okay, so explain for those uninitiated, and when I say uninitiated, I mean myself, exactly the difference in preparation from flour to griddle to eating between a crepe and a pancake.
Oh, okay, that's a really fun question because you could answer it a million different ways wherever in history you land. So, like, I was looking this up because I was trying to replicate some pancakes from the 1840s, but the pancakes were really more like crepes, and what they called, and they didn't have anything called crepes.
Really? In the 1840s?
Not in English cookbooks. Oh. So at some point it got in there. But anyway, the difference between what you see right there is leavening and no leavening.
Oh, okay.
So, and these are chemical leavening, you know, baking powder, baking soda. You can make sourdough pancakes. My younger son doesn't like the taste of them, so we stick to this type.
So, you know, we've done pizza shows here, mm-hmm. and the Baba Louie's Pizza, they make sourdough pizza crust, mm-hmm. and it's unlike other pizza. It's fabulous. So why doesn't your son like...
Oh, he loves sourdough bread sourdough. And sourdough pizza crust as long as they're not super sour. I don't let them ferment you know, so long so that it's a super sour thing.
Okay. Well, this is pretty good. Let's, should we take another? All right, let's take one more call and then we'll take a break. Kathy in Woodstock. Kathy, you're on.
Hi there. I'm actually calling with my son, who is not crazy about my hippy-dippy whole grain cooking, but he is crazy about pizza. So I'm wondering if you just have a quick pizza crust recipe, preferably vegan and whole grain, off the top of your head.
I don't think I have it off the top of my head, but I do have it archived in the Hive Mind. If you Google my name and pizza, I think you'll come to a pita bread recipe that I use that was taken from Naomi Duguid, D-U-G-I-U-D. She is an incredible cookbook writer, and she had a great recipe for pita that I loved, and I use that for pizza all the time.
Oh, interesting.
And you can use half whole wheat and half white, and it makes a great dough.
All right, Kathy, thanks a lot for the call. Now we'll take a break. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. We're joined by Amy Halloran, who really likes grain. That's what I've learned. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Congregation Ohav Shalom, announcing a benefit concert with the Klezmatics at The Egg, November 22nd at 2 p.m. TheEgg.org for tickets. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting Contemporary Dance with Katie Workham and Kimberly Bartosik on October 24th. Co-presented with Jacob's Pillow Dance, MassMocha.org. And Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, now booking holiday parties at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout Western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering.
One 800 348 2551. It's a Food Friday. Amy Halloran is here. Her book is The New Bread Basket, and we're talking grains and breads and pancakes and crepes. All right, this one came in via email, Amy. Takes some exception with your method here. The subject is soften up whole grain bread. I tried the method your guest suggested for pre-rise, but it never did work out. So I've taken my standard 2 loaves, whole wheat bread flour, 7 cups, and replaced half with an unbleached flour cut with wheat germ by 1/3, and then add at least 1/2 cup gluten flour. Then for every 7 cups of flour, I add 1 cup whole oats. The oats, warm water, yeast, and honey, sugar, are allowed to sit for 5 to 7 minutes, then incorporated with scant oil, sugar, salt, and flour. The bread rises high, stays together, and is elastic, but has that nice soft texture thanks to the oats. It works every time. Just don't knead too much. Dough will be slightly sticky.
Sounds nice.
Are you, you want to fight with this person? It's an email. I could be a surrogate.
I fight over pancakes, but I really leave the bread people alone because that's just like, I don't have a lot invested in my bread methods.
And bread is a really fine art too.
It is. It is. For years, I just dove deeper into pancakes. As I was researching this book, I met a lot of artisan bakers, and I really pulled away from bread baking at all because I thought, well, I do know the griddle, and I just got more into that.
So basically, just serve notice, stay away from the griddle. Amy's got the griddle covered, and
yes. You'll
pretty much fight anyone. Let's go to Alyssa in Warwick. Alyssa, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm actually baking right now, and I'm making a sesame almond dough. And I've used it before, but it calls for eggs and regular, like, all-purpose flour. And I was wondering, I'm doing it vegan and wheat-free, so I've been using coconut flour and mostly oat flour. And I was wondering if I can use some tapioca pearls that I've ground as a binder.
Wow.
Or if I can do away with that and just use coconut oil and a vegan butter instead.
What are tapioca pearls?
Tapioca pearls are those bubbles from bubble tea.
Oh.
So, you know, and those are beautiful. And I have never ground them up to use them. And I don't know how they'd behave. Have you done that before?
No, I'm wondering if just skipping it and just trying to see if it'll bind with the butter and just a little water.
And you're using coconut flour, right?
Mostly oat flour, but it's almond and ground sesame also. So
the sesame will be a little bit, you know, my limited understanding of vegan and wheat-free baking is to use the fats to pull things together.
Right.
So yeah. The fact that you've got some fat in the coconut and the sesame tells me that it might be good. But tapioca is a great binder. It's what people use for, you know, thickening up pies. Right. And what does, if you look at the label and it just says tapioca flour and water for those pearls, for the tapioca pearls or bubbles or whatever they are, then you might be safe. But I can't vouch for anything.
Okay. Well, let us know next time.
No, I understand. Thanks so much for your help.
Oh, good luck.
Thanks, Alyssa. 1-800-348-2551. Ray in Cobleskill, you're next with Amy Halloran.
Hi, Amy. I have a question. You had mentioned white flour being very sweet and all. Is that the same as what's called spring wheat?
The white flour that I referred to is farmer ground flour, and it is a white soft wheat that happens to be planted in the fall. It goes dormant over the winter and then is harvested in the summer. Spring wheats tend to be hard wheats or bread wheats. So it's not, this particular one is not a spring wheat.
But this is a brand, Farmer's Ground Flour, or is this a type?
Oh, it's a brand. Sorry. Okay.
And you're not a paid spokesman.
I'm not a paid spokesman.
All right, fair
I'm
enough.
Just incredibly loyal to this because when I started making pancakes with that, I started taking pictures of them.
You really truly are insane. All right, now we know.
Oh, okay. This is something I could probably find online then, I would assume.
Yes, yeah. Well, you're in Cobleskill, so if you go to your nearest co-op, it's a New York State flower, and they are in a lot of co-ops.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, that's great to know. I've been wanting to get local flour. Here's one problem, though. I read that all flour, according to the federal laws, have to be sprayed with Roundup just at the point of...
No, it's not a federal law. And
it isn't?
No.
Oh,
farmers,
that's great.
Organic farmers would not be able to do that.
Right.
Roundup.
No, not organic, no. But if they're non-organic, aren't they obligated to do that by law?
Not by law.
Okay.
I mean, the government can't mandate that.
All right, now we're getting into a whole other area of a program that I'm afraid we may not have the legal experts for. But
right. I think just, you know, go for organic and you're safe.
Ray, thanks a lot for the call. All right, on Twitter, Deanna Fox checks in. Amy Halloran is a grain kitchen goddess. Love hearing her on Vox Pop. Keep up the good work. P.S., what about biscuits?
Oh.
That's right. That's something Fox would ask. What about biscuits?
Biscuits. Okay, so... I love biscuits.
All right. Me too.
It's a, you know, just a flour rotation thing. What time of day, what flour are you going to use? And I make biscuits with the same mix that I use to make pancakes.
Yeah.
I just change the ratios. So the mix has flour, baking powder, baking soda, salt. And then if I'm going for pancakes, it has eggs, yogurt, and milk.
Okay.
If I'm going for biscuits... It has butter.
Yeah.
And I never put butter in my pancake batter, by the way, because I put it on the griddle, but not in the batter, because I feel that the fat inside the batter would interrupt any leavening you're going to get.
Oh, interesting.
I also don't put fat inside the crepe batter. But back to the biscuits, it's just more butter. I use yogurt and a little bit of milk.
So I find this fascinating. And again, I'm a neophyte. I don't bake anything, all right? But you don't like to bake bread, but you're fine with biscuits.
Oh, I do bake bread. I just don't think I do it incredibly well. I do it functionally, and I don't go for the, you know, there's a book out that is really great called In Search of the Perfect Loaf. And that's what you think of when you think of bakers. And that book is about Sam Fromart's trying to figure out how to make the best baguette. And it's also an incredible tour of the science of sourdough, artisan bakers, and our shared history with grains. But I'm never going to make even an imperfect loaf of bread. I'm going to make the perfect pancake, but my bread is just, you know, a butter delivery system. Not a piece of my heart, I guess.
All right. Okay. You know what? You got it down. Let's go to Ben in Red Hook. Ben, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Sure. So I'm a part-time weekend baker of sourdough bread. Mm-hmm. And I've had trouble keeping the sourdough starter happy for the week without really having to dump a bunch out in between while I'm feeding it. So I wondered if you had any ideas for how to sort of nurse a sourdough starter along without having to be so attentive to it that you're feeding it every day and having to throw away starter.
Right. Are you refrigerating it at all?
Yep. I am refrigerating it, but I'm not getting it to retard its growth as much as I'd like.
Interesting. What kind of flour are you using?
All-purpose.
I'm going to refer you elsewhere because
you stumped the band, Ben.
I don't know sourdough well enough. I just know people who write about it really well. I would look at that book I just mentioned because its explanations of sourdough are really good. And
that was In Search of the Perfect Loaf.
Yes.
Okay.
Go there.
All right.
Ben, I will do that. Thanks so much.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot for the call. Colin in Northampton. Colin, you're on.
Hi, Amy and Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Quick question. Related but unrelated. You know, we talk about having fun in the kitchen with the children. One of my problems, I'm a little bit like Ray. I have several all over me all day long.
Yes. Well, welcome to the club.
We love pasta. Mm-hmm. And making pasta with the machine and letting the kids choose what styles they want, et cetera, really occupies their time. And it's a lot safer for me than having an oven top on and a stove top, et cetera. Amy, do you have any experience at all? I've never really experimented with anything but standard, what they would call for in normal flour recipes with pasta.
You know, I don't have personal experience with it because I stay further away from pasta than bread.
Really?
Yeah, just because I don't love it as much as I love other stuff. But I know that people are using whole grain flours a lot in making pasta. And I did have some, we did make some that was really quite fun and reasonable. So I would say start out with your favorite recipe and just go for it. You could also, I mean, you already, if you're making it a lot, you know what you want the dough to feel like.
Sure, sure.
So just, you have a good, that can help you as you try to figure things out.
Thank you very much.
All right. Fairly noncommittal answer there. Well, well done, Amy. Well played. Griffin in Williamstown, Mass. Griffin, you're on.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Anyways, my question involves, I guess, really pancakes in different cultures. Mm-hmm. I went to Ireland a few years back where they really love their pancakes. And, you know, over there, their term for pancake is our term for crepe, I found.
Yeah.
And I was exactly wondering how exactly that came to be, or if you know that.
That's the 1840 recipe.
I really don't know. And I'm really Irish, so that's a shame that I don't know.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Well, that's all right. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call.
Something to look into, yeah.
How about, you see, there are Our listeners are very smart. They'll always stump you at least once.
Yeah.
It's not a Vox
Pop. It just shows you that there is no final frontier in grains or even pancakes. No final frontier.
Wow. This is cosmic. Bonnie in Esperance. Bonnie, you're on.
Hi. I was wondering about tapping your maple trees. I thought you had to have the sugar maple, and we have a number of maples on our property. We're in Esperance. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could talk a little about that. How do you pick the ones to tap, and how did you get interested into it?
It was really my son's interest, and he got into it by reading Yule. Is his last name Gibbons?
Yule Gibbons.
Yule Gibbons.
Yeah, the late
the
Yule Gibbons.
Asparagus, yes. Who I loved because of his Grape Nuts commercials.
Sure.
Because I also really like Grape Nuts. Homemade Grape Nuts.
I'm not surprised.
But at any rate, you can, as long as the maple is of a big enough diameter to tap, which I think is a foot. I can't remember. Not diameter, but radius. Not diameter. No.
Okay, so radius would be half.
What's the thing that goes all the way across the circle? That's the diameter?
Yeah.
I think it's 12 inches.
Okay.
I think that's what you need to worry about. And also, certain trees bud at a different rate. Some of them bud out sooner than others. So you just want to make sure you're not getting a buddy tree, because you'll get buddy tasting syrup and it really doesn't taste great.
Mm.
Yeah, but you can use it. Yeah. Well,
thanks, Bonnie. How long did it take your son to figure it? In fact, we haven't tried it yet. I'll have to try this.
Yeah.
How long did it take him to figure out how to do it right?
He got it right the first time.
Really?
He was making little spiles out of sumac.
Wow.
He's a real back to nature kid.
Really cool. All right, this is an email. We'll go right back to the phones in a moment. This one came in from Jamie. Does Amy have any sour cream buttermilk pancake recipes she likes?
Well, sure, but I'm more of the winging it than the proportions on it. I would use buttermilk. And I would try it with my standard flour proportions, which are the only recipe in my book, and then just use all buttermilk.
So the standard, it's 2 eggs, a cup of flour, and
a teaspoon of baking powder, a half a teaspoon of baking soda, which you're going to need for the buttermilk. You have to balance it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Whenever you're using buttermilk or yogurt, you need baking soda, but don't use too much.
What is the balance? The pH? What are we talking about here?
pH, it's going to taste, it won't rise. It helps counteract the acid so that the baking powder can still work.
I gotcha.
But it gives a great tang.
Let's go to, is it Sissy in Delanson?
It's Cece.
Hi, Cece. You're on.
Thanks. I'm enjoying the show. I'm working with a local historical society. We're trying to put together a pancake mix. And Amy mentioned Farmer Ground soft winter white wheat. Is that their all-purpose? Because I'm looking on their website, and is that their all-purpose flour?
Nope. That's the pastry flour is what you want to get.
Okay.
The pastry flour.
And is it whole wheat pastry flour or white?
I like the whole wheat. You can get it mildly sifted for the white pastry flour, but I'm a real advocate for using the whole grain.
Sure. And I missed the beginning of the show. Did you explain your recipe for your pancakes?
Yeah, but it's in my book.
Okay.
The book is called The New Bread Basket, by the way.
And if you hunt for my name in pancakes, you will find a lot of formulas.
I bet.
I've been telling people how to make pancake mixes for a long time. So you can just look that up.
Thank you so much.
Good luck. Good luck. And
thanks.
You can email me if you want more details.
Great, I will. Thank you.
Good.
Thanks a lot. What is your email address, by the way?
It's Halloran15@gmail.com.
Halloran15@gmail.com. All right, we only have about a minute here to go. So what Zen-like wisdom do you want to impart upon us?
Okay, so, Ray, I brought the griddle.
Yep.
Because I wanted to talk about the griddle.
Well, you have 1 minute.
It's round.
It is
cast aluminum. Find a cast aluminum griddle on eBay or at a thrift store, and you will have the best pancakes in the universe.
And that has a little gauge on it, doesn't it?
It does. It says cold, bake, and hot.
Cool. So that is that looks like an antique.
It is. It's so old that the handle broke, but well, it still makes great pancakes.
Well, I got to tell you, this was a lot of fun. The food was great. You have a lot of energy, which is something I don't have on a Friday afternoon. So you're welcome back almost anytime you want. You'll carry the whole show. So thanks to everybody who called in today. Thanks to Amy Halloran. The website, once again?
AmyHalloran.net. Or you can get my book at chelseagreen.com.
Very cool. Well, nice to have you here. And thanks again to everybody who called in and who listened and emailed and tweeted and whatnot. Support comes from Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton, providing fresh local pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com. The Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio, presenting a range of programming for the arts and community, thelinda.org, and Planned Parenthood Mid-Hudson Valley for over 80 years, advocating for policies that will protect women's rights into the future, ppmhv.org, for more information. Thanks again, everybody. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took your calls. Sorry, Barb. Bob, whatever. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Have a great weekend. Alan will be back on Monday at 2 for Medical Monday. News is next.